Good morning, Bethany, friends and neighbors. Welcome to our Facebook Live service, which is not actually live, but recorded, but we're glad you're with us. And just to let you know, we are also doing the drive-in church service this morning. And so if you put your prayer requests in the comments, we aren't going to see them this morning, but you can text them to this number, 540-495-0501. And I'll say that again, 540-495-0501. And we will get your prayer request and I will incorporate it into the pastoral prayer this morning. So glad to have you with us. And let's go to our children's message.
Hey, Bethany kids, your church family sure misses you a lot. We can't wait till the time comes when we can be back together again. But until then, we're going to continue our online service. And today we also started a drive-in service at church and hope that maybe all of you can come be a part of that. We have special children's packets and activities. And one of those activities is what we're going to be doing today. We are going to create a love jar. And we're doing that because Pastor Susan is talking to us today about how we show love to others and encourage them to love others by the kind things that we do for them. This is the way it works. You take a jar and you're going to receive some empty pieces of paper in it. You take those pieces of paper, sit down with your family, and try to think of some things that you could do to show love to others. What do you think? Do you have any ideas? One thing might be to bake some cookies or a meal and take them to someone. All of you are very good at coloring and making cards. Stick it in the mail, especially to someone in our church who is shut in. You might go through your toys and pick the ones that you don't play with anymore that are still in really good shape and give them to a homeless shelter or Mercy House or Goodwill for boys and girls that might not have as many toys to play with. You can do the same thing with your clothes. There are lots of things you can do, and I know that you and your family can come up with lots of ideas. You take those ideas and you put them inside the jar, close it up, and then use all these foam stickers that we're going to give you to decorate your jar and put it somewhere in your house where you will see it all the time. And remember to take a piece of paper out maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks or even just once a month. For you and your family to do something special to show the love of Jesus to other people. I know you're going to have a great time doing that, but even better than that, you are going to make someone else's heart very happy when you share the love of Jesus. I hope you boys and girls know how much your church family loves you and how much God loves you, and we cannot wait till we can be with each other again. Bye.
Our scripture is from 10th chapter of Hebrews. Verses 16 through 25. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. He also adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through the flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we have heard these words read aloud to us, and as we consider them, as we think about what it is you call us to do, Lord, just be with us in our meditation. Let my words be your words and my message be your message. Amen. Well, do you ever get a song stuck in your head? Or maybe you just find yourself humming a particular tune just out of the blue? Well, the other day I was making a cup of coffee and I realized that I was singing It's a Small World After All. Not a song I particularly like or care about, but, you know, it's one of those super repetitive songs that get stuck in your head. And if you've ever been on the It's a Small World After All ride, you may have it stuck in your head. You know, it goes like this. It's a world of laughter, a world of tears. It's a world of hopes and a world of fears. There's so much that we share that it's time we're aware that it's a small world after all. And then it goes on three more times to say, it's a small world after all. And then finally it ends with, it's a small, small world. Well, I can't count the number of times I have been on that ride. When I was in elementary school, we lived about a half hour drive from Disneyland. And so every time someone came to visit us, they had to go to Disneyland. And of course, we would go with them to make sure that they did all the rides that they needed to do. And because I was in elementary school, I just loved It's a Small World. And so I rode it many times. I think the most times I went to Disneyland in 1 year was four. So went there fairly often. And, you know, it's actually interesting because It's a Small World After All is probably the most played song in the world, because there are five Disney parks now, and each park has an It's a Small World ride. And they play that song for 16 hours a day over and over and over. And they estimate that probably it's been played over 50 million times. So it's been played a lot. And I was thinking about it. Why is this song running through my head? But I started to think about it and I realized that if there's anything that COVID-19 and self-quarantine and all of those things have proven to us is that it really is a small world. When you think about how quickly the virus went from China throughout the world, it didn't take very long. It happened fairly quickly, even though everyone was trying to contain the virus. And when I think about that, I'm reminded of back in 1872, Jules Verne's book, Around the World in 80 Days came out. And at that time, that was a remarkable thing, the idea that you could go around the world in 80 days. And the reason that was possible was that three things happened. First, the Intercontinental Railroad in the United States was finished. And then the Suez Canal was completed. And the third one was there was now a railroad line across the Indian continent, subcontinent. So all of those things made it possible that you could go around the world even if you were not a great explorer or an adventurer. Well, now, if you want to go around the world, the record is it can be done in 31 hours and 27 minutes. So the world may not have shrunk, but our ability to get around in the world has certainly changed, making it a small, small world. We are all more connected than maybe we were, 80, 70, 100 years ago. And when I think about it, it is an interesting world that we live in. It can seem at the moment like a world that is chaotic, in flux, and just troubled. Turn on the news, read the newspaper, and you hear about events unfolding that are not like any events that we've seen in the last 20 years or so. Well, the text of Hebrews, our scripture this morning, was written in a time of flux and persecution as the Roman Emperor Claudius had the followers of Jesus Christ expelled from Rome, about the same time that we think this letter was written. And this letter is probably written to Christian Jews who were being persecuted and who were considering giving up on following Christ and returning to the traditional Jewish faith. And so the writer of this letter wants to convince them that what they have now as followers of Christ is better than what they had when they just were followers of Judaism. So the intent of the text is to convince the people that having one high priest, Jesus Christ, is superior to the high priest who is making sacrifices in the temple. And so he writes that when Jesus died on the cross, about how the curtain was rent in two, the curtain that separated the rest of the temple from the Holy of Holies. In that place, in the Holy of Holies, the high priest went in there only once a year. And it had to be the high priest, not anyone else, because it was coming too close to God. And in that place was the Ark of the Covenant, and within the Ark, there was the tablets that God gave Moses. There was a jar of manna, and there was Moses' staff. But not everybody could go in there. And in order to continue to worship God, sacrifices had to be made every day. And so what we hear in Hebrews is that Jesus Christ has made a once and for all sacrifice, that the curtain has been torn in two, and that now there's no more need for animal sacrifice. Now we are washed clean through the blood of Christ and through the waters of baptism, that we now have access to God. It's no longer one person attempting to be holy enough to go into God's presence, but Jesus has opened the way for all of us. And so we are asked to consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. Which is an interesting choice of words, provoking one another to love and good deeds. When I think of the word provoke, the first thing that comes to mind is my kids when they were, say, 8 and 12 years old, and how they would provoke one another when they were riding in the car together. You know, you'd hear things like, "Mom, she's on my side," or, "Mom, she touched me," or, "Mom, she's messing with my stuff." And then we got a minivan, and they each had their own bench seat, and it was beautiful. We took a trip down to Florida, we went up to Canada, and we didn't hear that provocation anymore. But actually, the word provoke doesn't necessarily mean that you're angering someone. When we say that provoke, it really means to evoke something, to stir up something, to arouse, incite, and impassion another person. We are supposed to impassion one another to enact love and good deeds. We are to incite one another to being better than we could be on our own. And as I think about that, I think about the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. The woman who goes to the well in her village one day in the middle of the day. Now, most of the people in her village probably went to the well either early in the morning or later in the evening when things had cooled off a good bit. But she goes to the well at noon, probably because she doesn't want to run into any of her neighbors. Well, this day she comes to the well and she meets a man who she decides by his either his accent or his dress is Jewish. And so she begins conversation with him. And of course, this man is Jesus. And Jesus says that he has living water and those who drink it will never be thirsty again. And so she asks for this living water so she would never grow thirsty again and never have to come to the well again. Then Jesus tells her to go home and fetch her husband. Well, she confesses that she does not have a husband. And Jesus astounds her by telling her that indeed she has no husband. In fact, she has had five husbands, and the man she is with now is not her husband. And so she is amazed at Jesus' response to her. And they begin this theological discussion about worship. Where does true worship happen? And what does it consist of? And so as they're having this discussion, the disciples come back. They had been off getting food, and so they're astounded that Jesus is speaking to this woman. But she is inspired. She is transformed. Jesus has provoked her to love and good deeds. So she goes off, returns to the village, and starts to tell people, I have met this man. I think he might be the Messiah. And so you should come and hear what he has to say. And so the people come and they listen to Jesus and they too are transformed. This is an amazing moment. This woman is an early evangelist. She is indeed provoked to love and good deeds. She is transformed. And the thing about this text that we have from the Gospel of John, this is John chapter 4, is that, you know, we have this sense that Jesus offers this tired and burdened woman a chance to be transformed so that she can be washed clean. But one drink of water is what he's offering her. You get the sense that this woman is street smart. She's talking to a stranger, talking to a strange man. She's a little bit sassy. She has a response for everything Jesus says to her. She's probably a person of dubious reputation. She's probably had to scratch and claw to get everything that she's gotten up to now. And so when she finally understands what's being offered, she grabs it and she rejoices. But she is also generous. She wants to share the gift of new life and hope with everyone that she knows. It's possible that this woman was an outcast in her village because of a shady past. But all that is behind her now. She takes the living water she is given and brings it back to the village and tells others the good news. Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? And they left the city and were on their way to him. Well, is it naive to believe that love and good deeds could transform someone? That the offer of living water could provoke someone to love? That ride at Disneyland, it's over 56 years old now. It actually debuted not at Disneyland, but at the New York World's Fair. It was a collaboration between Pepsi and Walt Disney, but it was a salute to UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund. Working in the world's toughest places is where UNICEF works to reach the most disadvantaged children and adolescents and to protect the rights of every child everywhere. Well, when the New York World's Fair ended, the Small World ride was packed up and reassembled in Disneyland. And for the ride's grand opening, Walt Disney brought children from around the world, and each child brought a little bottle of water from their homes, maybe from a lake or a river or an ocean, and all of these children knelt by the flume of the ride and poured their water into the ride's flume. It was supposed to represent our common humanity in spite of our outward differences. Perhaps Walt Disney even hoped that it might provoke us to love and good deeds. The world has grown small. But Jesus tells us to think big, to stretch our imagination and consider that instead of provoking one another in anger and fits of fear, that we provoke one another to love and good deeds. I think of the 1960s when the ride was commissioned as a time of optimism and hope when anything seemed possible. And yet, I am reminded that with God, anything is possible, even in a small, small world. Amen. Just a few announcements this morning. So remember that if you want to come to the drive-in service, you need to email or call the office by Thursday to let us know so we know how many cars to plan for. And when you come, tune into 91.3 and join us for worship. Sing as loudly in your car as you would like. So this is our time for prayer requests. And I know that we want to be in prayer for Jake Dunsmore as he's recovering from his open heart surgery. He's doing really well. So just continue to pray for his as he continues to heal and get stronger. Also, we want to be in prayer for Kelly and Brian and Lane for the loss of Benjamin. So please keep them in your prayers. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we come together in prayer, we offer our gratitude that you are always present to us. Instill in us a desire to listen to others, to listen and hear one another. Help us to listen openly and hear the truth of those around us, even if it is not like our truth. May all feel safe in our presence. Instill in us a spirit of peace that others might feel accepted, just as they are accepted by your grace that's freely offered to each and every one of us. Lord, free us from that tendency we have to label people and ideas, and allow us to learn mercy and kindness. Lord, as we come together in prayer, we acknowledge the times when we have been less than kind, less than merciful, less than open and honest. Thank you for never banning us from your presence. Lord, thank you for always welcoming us. Help us to love and accept others as you love and accept us. Lord, this morning we pray for those who have been affected by illness. Help us not to live in fear, remind us that you pour your strength into us. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you would give them hope in the power of the resurrection to bring new life. Lord, as we come together, even though we may be apart, help us to be the body of Christ, bound together through ties of grace and love and mercy. All this I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, thanks for joining us today, and I'm looking forward to that day when we see one another face to face. Amen.